Hawaii. Hope you're having a wonderful day. And if you've ever sat around thinking that this idea that the way we've been supposed to live is to go to college or get good grades so we can get into college, go to college so we can get a job, sit at a job that usually most people dream of leaving and spending the next 40 to 50 years there until you can retire and hopefully get a week or two on the beach before croaking of a heart attack after the stressful way we've been living for so long. Well, if you've thought that seems a little ridiculous and you're wondering if there is a better way, well, today just might be your lucky day. And indeed there is, and that's what we're going to cover. So to begin with, perhaps it's helpful to think about where this current system came from. I think a lot of it was designed in order to really keep people under control with the way the government has become a master of attempting over these past couple decades, or really centuries when you think about it. Think about how we have the public school system, where we really didn't learn all that much of use. I mean, I went to a public school in New Jersey, and I suppose learning the math and some of the basic skills were helpful. But, you know, looking back on it, I think about the way that we were trained in grade school, high school, and then even throughout college, where, you know, we were really trained all along the way to learn how to be a cyborg. It actually reminds me of that episode of Star Trek where they had those, I think they were called the Borg. And there were these robots that all they did was answer to the mothership. And when you think about how we've been told since birth, well, you have to have a career and you have to do it this way and you have to live in trapped in terror and fear of what your employer is going to think, and really just following this mentality that our role is to fill out the form, push the button, do everything according to this standardized format that requires no thinking. And one of the advantages is that then you can keep a generation of people in fear of an economy, trapped in jobs that they're not happy with. Certainly a lot of the medical research that I've done, I see now how a lot of the physical conditions that people are suffering from really starts from mental stress and manifests from there. And certainly just the way that so many are living in this lack mentality, and by all means, this is something that most certainly applied to me for really my entire life until 2 years ago when I decided to start Arcadia Economics and figure there just had to be a better way. But when you think about it, what if rather than feeling like we had to work for someone else and do something that we didn't want to do somebody else's way, what if there were a better option? Especially if you've grown up anywhere in the US, and I'm seeing that it's very similar in Europe since I've been here as well. And I get the feeling from the people I talk to that this is really a global phenomenon. Everyone tends to think that, well, either the economy is good or bad, and that determines whether I can get a job. And again, by all means, I fell for this one for a long time as well. But like most things out of the government, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. And what if instead of thinking about, well, this guy is offering a job, or either the economy is offering jobs, or the labor market is strong or weak, what if we looked at it slightly differently? When you think about it, there's no shortage of demand. And that's one of the economic myths that, well, the opposite of that is one of the economic myths that we've been led to believe, that when the economy is weak, there's no demand. People aren't going to buy things, or there's no customers, or the world just falls off the cliff, which certainly there are many industries or professions or jobs that when the economy is weak, yes, they become much tougher. But really what a recession or even a depression from an economic standpoint is really a sign of is just that the demand has changed. Great example of that is if you think back to the housing bubble 6 years ago, and hard to imagine that that's already been 6 years ago. It's amazing, especially when you think about what's happened in the past 6 years and how the government and the banks have done their best to inflate new bubbles, which not only have they done their best, but they've succeeded. And I might add, as the Dow Jones has just topped 17,000, we're seeing the signs of that. And anyway, that's for another day. But what the housing bubble and the following recession were indicating was that we were allocating all this labor to building houses when that's not what was needed at the time. You know, when you think about all these houses that have now been foreclosed by the banks, maybe someone can write in and has good housing stats. I mean, my guess is there's probably at this point more houses than people in the world. And we were trained to think, well, the construction industry, if the housing market turns down, well, the construction industry, we have to find a way to solve it. We have to find a way to boost it back up. We have to stimulate it. Maybe another QE package, more stimulus, which is really the type of thinking that politicians use to get elected. But what that was really saying is that, well, all these people that were spending their time building houses, well, we have all the houses we need. Now we can free them up to do something else. I mean, it'd be essentially the same as, let's say you decide to build a pool in your backyard. And let's just, for the sake of this example, say that you know how to build the pool, and doing it by yourself, it's going to take you 6 months. But you start, and then after a week, a couple friends come over and they say, "Wow, you're building a pool. If you let me swim in it, maybe I'll help you." And then a couple of their friends come over, and all of a sudden, a week or two later, you have a team of 10 or 15 people cutting the time down, and it only takes you a month. Now, the way the government and the banks would like to rectify that is saying that, you finish 5 months early. We need more work. Let's fill the thing up with cement, so that then we can dig it up again and rebuild it. So this way we have something to do for 6 months. So rather than everybody getting to swim after the first month and then having their free time to do something else. Maybe you want to build a doghouse next to the pool. Or maybe with the rest of that free time, you can set up a website showing other people how to build pool. You automate it, and now you have a business coming in. And so everyone who wants to build a pool is saying, "Wow, look at what these guys did. How do they do that? Oh, they have a course, $200, how to build your pool with a couple friends." And since worked out pretty well for you and you built a pool, you got people to help, you're having a big party, everyone's barbecuing, you have smiles on your face, you have video on the front of it, girls in bikinis, Miller Lite popping out of left field, looks like a beer commercial. And so all the other people who are thinking, "Wow, this looks like a great idea, and rather than spending 6 months to do it, I can follow the instructions of some guy who came up with a good plan, did it quicker, and then spent the rest of his time getting back to other things." Or maybe rather than setting up a business, you just spend more time with your family or doing whatever else it is you want. But in the system we have now, we're trained to think that we have to keep doing the things that we've been doing. And when the demand isn't there for those services anymore, well, that's a problem. And we have to print money or stimulate it or juice up the prices. Or, I mean, I still haven't figured out this Federal Reserve mentality of that. The what we really need is more inflation. I mean, that's pretty bizarre to me to think about the ways so many people are just struggling to make ends meet, and to think that the solution would actually be that we want to make things more expensive for everyone. But that's really how silly the system that we've grown up in actually is. Again, there's a variety of reasons, and I won't get into another Illuminati sidetrack tangent here. But what's really the most important thing is there a better way to do these things? Is there a better way to, if it's creating income, is there a better way to do this rather than hope that someone else is going to have a job for us? And by all means, I don't want to have this come off the wrong way, is that working for someone else is bad. If you can partner up with people, and whether it's partnering or working, if you're doing something that you enjoy doing and you actually like the way you're spending your time each day, then by all means, I don't know, you can skip to the next podcast, or maybe this one doesn't apply to you. But rather, again, targeting a little bit more at the people that certainly I can experience, well, I've experienced for a long time, of just sitting in a job feeling trapped and waiting, watching the clock, waiting to be able to go home every day and feeling like there's no other option. You know, this is really targeted to you. And if you just start thinking about it a little bit differently, it might not be overnight, but it's actually the exact same thing I did when I left Wall Street and thought that there had to be a better way. I thought about how there's a lot of people paying a lot of money for financial advice. You have, I mean, I can't even imagine what, if you want to sit down with one of these bankers at one of these monster mega banks that feed out this conventional wisdom that leads people to get smoked financially every couple of years. I can't even imagine what it costs to sit down with one of them when they tell you to just buy treasuries that at this point you're getting a negative real return in the best case. And then whenever the US government finally collapses, or even if you get your money paid back, it'll be in monopoly dollars by the time you get to keep it. So after I started really seeing the entire financial system in a different way and feeling like there had to be a better way than going to the New York Stock Exchange, I mean, I literally used to go every day to a building with no windows and almost no women. I mean, talk about a rough way to spend every day, a lot of negative energy. I remember sometimes during the summer, I'd try and escape outside for a little while, and they had this gate around the New York Stock Exchange. And I remember sitting there, and there'd always be people walking by, and I'd just have my hands on the bars. And sometimes I think back about that. It almost actually felt like prison bars. And that's really the effect that this system has created, where in some ways, the majority of the population is living in a form of prison. It's mentally created prisons, but it's really, you've created a slave force labor population. But you've done it with the mental conditioning. But what I found helpful was that at some point I just started to feel that, all right, there's a few things that I felt I was really good at. I didn't like going to work on the stock exchange for the reasons just described, but I actually loved understanding the markets. I love talking about this, as you can see as I continue on podcast day after day. I mean, it's fascinating to understand what's actually going on, but I didn't want to do it someone else's way. And I respect the, at least the honest people that are doing business in finance. And I think it's helpful to point out that I don't want to make it sound like financial markets are bad. And that's something that's sad to me, is the way that that picture has been painted, almost as if anything in the financial markets is bad or evil, which I don't believe is the case. In fact, when you have a healthy and functioning financial system, that can make things, the quality, and especially the quality of living, better for everyone. And again, these were the types of things I liked thinking about, and I thought, well, there has to be another way rather than doing this for someone else. And when I kept thinking about how, at the end of the day, yes, people are conditioned to think that Wall Street is the place they have to invest their money. That's not necessarily the case, because what people really want is to do well financially. I don't know, maybe someone wants to have the prestige of having a banker at JP Morgan or Goldman Sachs, and if that's the case, then by all means, then I guess you go after that. But from the standpoint of thinking that, what is it that people really want? They want advice that's going to help them make money in the financial markets, is what they're generally paying for in if you have a financial broker or advisor. So when it reached the point that I felt, it doesn't even need to be a matter of, well, I can do this better or this guy's better, but just I felt that I had something that I wanted to share and that was of value to people. And that could be different for everyone, because whatever it is that you like to do, there's people around the globe that, I mean, billions of people, or at least millions, depending on what it is. But maybe you like writing, or you like building websites, or maybe here's a good one that I love. I think is a perfect example, especially for anyone who's graduating college, having a tough time finding a job, and because when we go to college, we're trained only to look for jobs that really don't exist. But especially for many people who are college age today, growing up really with Twitter and Facebook as a second language, man, I'll tell you, after 2 years of going to marketing and business conferences and really learning how to just become competent at using Facebook and Twitter for marketing purposes, when you think about someone who's grown up with that as a second language, and I mean, if you just know how to interact effectively with people on one of these social media platforms, and you can show 40 or 50 year old business owners, well, fortunately, I'm a little younger than that still, but you know, just think about your parents and people who grew up in a different generation where, I mean, I'm 35, so I'm kind of in that in-between range. But I mean, still, it's almost impossible that, unless I dedicated my life to it, that I would ever have that same ingrained expertise of Twitter or Facebook or any of these platforms that someone who's grown up using it and knowing it as a second language, almost in the same way that as children, it's often easier to pick up and learn new languages when we're really in that early learning stage that facilitates that and makes it so much easier. So imagine if you were just really good at Twitter and you went around to businesses that said, well, we want to sell more products and we wish we could reach more customers. Well, people are getting a lot of their information online these days. It's the marketplace has changed. And man, if you go around and say, all right, I created a program. This is how, if you do step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you're going to be interacting. You're going to be getting more attention, more customers to your business. And this is going to increase your sales. It's going to increase your profit. And look, you could try and spend all your time doing it on your own, or you follow my way, or you could even hire me. I'll do it for you. And here's the result you're going to get. It's going to end up making you more money even after you pay the cost of my service. So when you think about it like that, you've just taken something that you hopefully enjoy doing. And hey, if you don't like doing Twitter or Facebook or whatever it is, then you know, you pick something else. But again, thinking about the way that you can take the skills that you have, spend some time organizing them and showing other people how to do it. And when you use a little creativity and just really think about where there are people who have a need for what you like to do, maybe I'm a guitar player, and maybe if you're a musician, maybe you put together a series of lessons, because think about it. There's people all around the world who want to play guitar, want to play piano, that are searching for lessons every day. Now, does that number go up or down depending on if you have an economic crash? Sure. But, all right, so maybe there was 500 million people in the world who are musicians, and you have the economic crash and it goes down to 250 million. I mean, there's still always going to be people that want to learn things. Maybe you like building websites. Maybe you like analyzing trends that are going on in the economy. Maybe you like to drink wine or beer and just talk about it. And maybe you could say to a restaurant, because you're okay, yeah, this is the perfect, this will prove that there is literally something for everyone. Maybe because you spend all your time just enjoying wines and testing different microbrews, and you talk to a lot of other people, you know what people really like, you know what they like about the specific brands, you know what makes them go out to the restaurant, you know why they will sign up for a beer of the month club. Maybe you've signed up for something like that, or you get, you know, one of these services where you get new wine recommendation each week. No matter what it is, there's always someone out there that wants to learn more about these things. There's wine tasting classes all over the place. And in fact, I always thought, well, if you're struggling a little bit in the dating life, at least if you're a guy, I always thought it'd be a nifty little trick to, you know, just to have the mastery of the wine menu when you go out on a date and order dinner. And sure, I could sit there and buy bottle of wine after bottle of wine. But even then, think about it. Let's say I just start from beginning on my own and just try different wines. And let's say I buy a bunch that I like, buy a bunch that I don't like, and maybe I spend a couple $100 on bottles of wine that I didn't like, that had maybe I read someone's blog or you had a podcast about it, or you just present the value in a way that shows that, look, I'm going to help you find what you want more quickly. It's going to cost you less money. It's going to save you time, and you're going to get more of what you want and less disappointment or the stuff you don't want. And when you think about it like that, fine. After the crash of 2008, well, maybe, well, not maybe, clearly we didn't need to build more houses. But if you had been involved, maybe you were a real estate broker leading up to the crash, but then maybe because of your experience, you realized, wow, this isn't a good situation. There's going to be trouble on the horizon. maybe you decided to use those skills rather than selling more houses, and you created a service that helped people who were getting foreclosed know their options. I mean, think about the stress that people are under when their house gets foreclosed on. I mean, if you've ever actually had a mortgage, I mean, the stack of papers just to, I mean, you need a lawyer just to sign the darn thing. And still, I mean, it's a crapshoot to figure out. I mean, it's just a stack of legal documents that I don't know how anyone could actually read. I mean, you have a better chance reading one of those congressional bills. But again, it's just really taking that step and thinking about, what do I know about what's going on? Hey, it could be related to the economy, or maybe you don't even have to think about how the economy is going to change. I mean, there's certain things, again, like wine, or that example, that no matter what economy you have, people are going to be drinking wine. And if you just start thinking in a different way of, rather than what are the jobs that are available, which is the one that I hate the least and can, you know, survive going there day to day. But if you just shift the perspective a little bit and start with thinking, all right, I mean, if I need to create an income, rather than going to this job that I just can't stand for the next couple decades, just make a list of, what is it that I really like to do? What would I love to spend each day doing? And then think about, okay, well, if you really love spending your time doing it, it means you've probably spent a lot of time doing it already. And then you just think, well, who else is interested in this? How can I find some way that I can save that person money, or I can help them make more money, or I can help them find what they want more efficiently and save them time? And then when you put a little marketing behind it and learn how to phrase, which I find is really one of the keys, and that's something that I had to learn. And I can't tell you that this is going to happen overnight, but if you just start learning one piece at a time, at least you start heading on the right track. And whether it takes a year, or maybe it takes a month, or maybe it takes 10 years, or maybe you find a couple friends that are interested in the same thing, and you guys end up doing it together, and it goes really quickly. And I mean, there's no set path, is what I've learned, certainly. But it really comes down to, what is the model that you're following? And again, the reason that, you know, I was poking a little fun at the current educational system in the beginning of today's podcast is that it was just, once I heard this for the first time, it was about 2 years ago, and it was just baffling to me how it just had never occurred to me. And I never heard anyone mention anything like this during grade school or college, or even when I went to Wharton for an MBA. And I mean, here it is. These Ivy League business schools, where again, they're just training us to be clones for the man. And it was really mind blowing just to think about how much simpler it could be. And that doesn't mean that, again, it's going to be overnight, but once you really have a different goal, all I can say is that it seems like an awful lot of a more fun way to live, than what I think most people are doing. And then, of course, one of the nice parts is that you can start building products that you make it once. Maybe you design a course or a series of lectures, or maybe you make a CD or a disc set or a video or a DVD, and you've done it once. And then you get the marketing in place, and then eventually you get to the point where, you know, you can be sleeping, that thing's on autopilot. And that's really what I thought was so fascinating about this business model, and why I ended up setting Arcadia Economics up in the fashion that I did. Because it just made so much logic. It was almost so logical and and simple that I was baffled how I had never thought of it before. So anyway, that's just a few things to get you started thinking about. And again, maybe, you know, feel free to listen to this again and let it sink in sometime and see what ideas come up. And by the way, you hear that sneeze back there. That's my dog Hunter, who runs the show and reminds me of another good idea. If you like animals, well, certainly, imagine the guy who has a dog that he has a hard time, training. Imagine certainly if people who love animals but are having challenges and the animal is disruptive in the home, man, you find the animal lovers and you show them that you can help their lives. I mean, that's like helping someone with their children almost. So that's another idea that you can take and run with it. I give these all away for free. Take anything. I mean, hopefully this has helped give you some ideas. And, you know, again, it may seem different in the beginning because it's so different from what we've been trained to do. But you don't have to take my word for it. Just think about it and see if you can find a way in which it doesn't make sense. Probably the hardest part for me was just thinking about, wow, this actually could be so simple and so much of a better setup. Again, it just takes a little while for us to change the mindset. So hopefully this was helpful today. If you need any further help or if you have any questions, you can always log on to arcadiaeconomics.com. You can go to the contact tab and write in, let us know what's on your mind. We actually also have a program that was really designed to help people through this process. Because I've been sitting here learning landing pages, building websites, marketing, writing copy, and have really gone through all these different steps. And there are some things to learn, but especially if you can give yourself the chance to do it at a pace that works for you, and you have someone who can help guide you. I just found it was really interesting and fascinating how different things could be. So we actually created a program called the Golden Brick Road to Freedom. And if you go to Arcadia Economics and click on the Welcome to Arcadia, the tab actually is the middle one that says, What Can I Do About It? And underneath there, there's a submenu for Arcadia University. And if you scroll down, you can see the Golden Brick Road to Freedom, where if you would like to have someone help work with you and be there to help guide you through some of the things that, again, there's nothing that is actually difficult. All the steps are, it's just a sequence. You learn one after another, you start putting it in place, and then eventually one day you get there. And anyways, if we can be of help, by all means, let us know. And I think you might find that program interesting if you found today's podcast interesting. And with that said, we're going to wrap it up for today. I thank you again, as always, for joining us. I hope you're having a beautiful day wherever you may be. And God bless you, and we'll see you again soon.